Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beats. I personally take Super Beats when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beats gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at IntelligentBeats.com. That's IntelligentBeats.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today we're talking about curcumin for cancer. According to today's guest, Dr. A.J. Goel, he's a professor at Baylor University, and his interest is in natural agents for cancer prevention. He's director of the Center for Gastrointestinal Research and Cancer Prevention and Genomics at Baylor Research Institute, part of Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. And he's the lead author of a new study which shows that BCM95 curcumin, a specific formulation of curcumin, reduces chemo resistance in colorectal cancer. Chemo resistance, if you go back to part one, we explain it, has to do with the fact that some, you know, chemo works for a while and then it stops working. And chemo resistance is, you know, just like antibiotic resistance. Cancer cells develop resistance to all forms of chemotherapy, and then they metastasize and explode, and that portends a poor prognosis for patients. So according to Dr. Goel's research, you found that by adding a high-absorption curcumin, which is the formulation is called BCM95, to the chemotherapy treatment, which was 5-fluorouracil, the cells, the cancer cells, lost their chemo resistance, and the 5-FU was once again effective, which is very cool. So what is it about BCM95 that makes it more bioavailable? There's this whole controversy about curcumin. You said in part one that it may not be that well absorbed.
Right. So most of the curcumin, we have now more than 7,000 peer-reviewed studies published with curcumin. So this is very fascinating to me. There's no other natural compound or no other pharmaceutical compound which has so much positive, so much encouraging research behind it. But in spite of all of this, curcumin is not very well absorbed by our bodies. And as a result, there have been many different ways, many different approaches have been used by different manufacturers to enhance its absorption. So by enhancing its absorption or bioavailability in our bodies would allow people to derive more benefit from these preparations. So I chose to use BCM95 in my research. I've been using it for several years now. And the reason for me to select BCM95 at that time was multiple-fold. First, it is one of the most naturally occurring curcumins out there. So you have to remember, curcumin is actually one of the siblings of three curcuminoids. So when you take turmeric, which is a natural spice, you ground up turmeric and you extract curcumin. So curcumin is about 75% of all curcuminoids. There are three curcuminoids in turmeric. One is curcumin.
Curcuminoids.
Yeah,
it's like the word humanoid. I mean, curcumin-like, yes, so, compounds.
Yes, so these are curcuminoids. These are three curcuminoids, or three family members within this curcumin family. One is curcumin, which is about 75% of entire curcuminoid content. And there's another, about 18% of that is bismethoxycurcumin, and about 7% is dibismethoxycurcumin. So there are three family members in this family. And BCM95 curcumin is actually a combination of all three curcuminoids together, which is fantastic, because although most of the research has been done on just curcumin, but we have to remember that epidemiological evidence we see for the benefit of curcumin, of turmeric, because that's how it is consumed in India. People don't eat curcumin, but they're using turmeric, right, to cook their food. And that benefit probably does not come from curcumin alone, but from all three curcuminoids together. So BCM95 is actually a combination of all three curcuminoids, which is fantastic. The second thing is, one of the approach used to enhance bioavailability or bioabsorption of curcumin is by using artificial lipids to coat curcumin. So
it's the so-called liposomal curcumin.
Liposomal or phytosomal curcumin.
Right.
And the reason that is used is because traditionally curcumin or turmeric comes from Indian system of medicine, which is Ayurveda. So turmeric has been used for more than 4,000 or 5,000 years in traditional Ayurveda. And people begin to recognize the way turmeric was consumed was the typical way of using curcumin for therapeutic benefit was you take a warm glass of milk and you stir in a spoonful of turmeric and you consume it.
It's not low fat or skim milk. It's full fat milk.
Full fat milk.
Right.
And people never sort of knew why it works, but every time you use that, it worked. So now we have become sophisticated enough and we begin to look at mechanisms and chemistry and why did turmeric dissolved in full fat milk work? And the idea was because there's a lot of fat around in the milk, and if you can somehow coat extract of curcumin with lipid, you can enhance its absorption. So many companies have started to use these phytosomes or liposomes to coat curcumin to enhance its absorption. So we don't know how these artificial lipids work. When you take these lipids for long periods of time, there's a possibility that some of these lipids, because they're not naturally occurring in our bodies, they may have some sort of adverse effect. We didn't know that. But BCM, on the other hand, I chose that because BCM95, instead of using any artificial lipids, it actually uses the essential oils which are present in the turmeric root itself. Which is beautiful because now this is the most natural, most native, most indigenous preparation way of preparing curcumin extract by using its own essential oils and coating them and enhancing its absorption. Third, there have been human studies done, there have been animal studies done that BCM95 is anywhere between 7 to 10 times more bioavailable than standard curcumin. So all of these three reasons made me choose BCM95, and I've been using it for many, many studies so far, and every single study has shown positive data.
So now BCM95 is not a product. It's not like you don't go to a health food store and ask for BCM95. It's actually a lot of different companies source their curcumin from the manufacturer that makes it. So that may have a multitude of names other than BCM95, correct?
That is right. So BCM95 is basically a type of curcumin. So we can call it as BCM95 curcumin. And as a finished product, a lot of manufacturers would use BCM95. They are using BCM95 curcumin to make their products, and these products are being sold by different brand names. But BCM95 itself is a curcumin extract.
Could part of the secret of curcumin in the Indian diet be that whenever you make curry, you use ghee? And it seems to me that, you know, I've done some Indian recipes, Middle Eastern recipes, where you actually put the spices in with the melted, heated ghee, and then you sort of suspend it in a fatty matrix and then introduce it into the dish.
And I think that these are all good reasons, because people never, in Indian food, people always use it, turmeric, mostly in a food form, so in the cooked food, and every meal is cooked with oil or ghee, and I think the reason again is probably presence of that fat around during cooking or when you're using it with milk. I think that fat helps in increasing or boosting absorption of curcumin, and I think that's why even small amounts of curcumin, if absorbed, and people keep you eating two or three meals, every meal is having turmeric in there, I think there's always some sort of residual amount of curcumin in their bloodstream, which probably continues to protect them against a lot of illnesses. I mean, when you look at cancer, I mean, we talked about it already, cancer incidence is very low in India. Look at Alzheimer's. India is one of those nations with the lowest frequency of Alzheimer's. Again, possibly because of curcumin, possibly because of curcumin and many other herbs and spices with similar natural medicinal benefits.
Is it possible under research conditions to measure the bioavailability of curcumin to see if indeed the curcumin that's in your product is getting into the bloodstream. I know we can do that with medications. Has your lab come up with a way to assay curcumin absorption?
Absolutely, we have done a study and where we can measure curcumin absorption in bloodstream, and we have compared it with standard curcumin. So by standard curcumin, I mean just generic curcumin, not BCM95. And we have seen that BCM95 curcumin is definitely anywhere around 7 to 10 times more bioavailable in these individuals compared to people who are taking standard curcumin. So in other words, you will have to consume 7 to 10 times more number of pills to get the same level of benefit compared to a single pill of BCM95. And not only absorption, another problem with curcumin is it's poorly absorbed and it is readily excreted from the body. So it does not stay in the body long enough. It gets metabolized, gets broken down, and is excreted or eliminated from the body very fast. And this is another positive point of BCM95, that not only it's better absorbed, but it stays in the body longer. It is retained in the body longer. For all these reasons, I think it makes a much more superior curcumin extract than many out there.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're up against in the nutraceutical industry is, you know, with chemical medicines, it's very easy to put a very tiny amount, you know, like a milligram amount of an active chemical into a pill. And it's a once-a-day pill or a twice-a-day pill. But God didn't create every nutraceutical so that one pill twice daily was the ideal dose, unfortunately. And for sometimes, so we'll see, well, this or that is beneficial, resveratrol. But it may be that, to get the ideal dose of resveratrol in your bloodstream, you have to take, 30 pills. I mean, I'm just saying, some people contend that it's very hard to, get the... So what's the story with curcumin for various conditions?
Yeah, no, I think that's a very, very important point, and especially you have to consider that most of these patients who would consider taking curcumin or any other natural supplement for any of the health benefits, many of these patients have difficulties swallowing too many pills, and they can't swallow too many big pills, and they cannot consume too many pills.
Well, somebody with Alzheimer's disease or somebody with cancer, this is going to be difficult, right?
Yes. So I think that's where curcumin extracts such as BCM95 are much more helpful, because since they're absorbed 7-10 times better, it means you're reducing your number of pills you will have to consume that many more. So recently in the human studies we have done with BCM95, we have only used one pill in the morning, one in the evening, two pills in a day, which is not much. 500 milligrams once in the day, once in the evening, two pills in a day for 6 weeks or 8 week long trials, that is achievable. And when we measure curcumin levels, there's enough curcumin in the bloodstream of these patients if they take two pills, 500 milligrams twice a day. That is very much doable. So I think that's why these clinical trials have shown so much benefit, because there's always some level of curcumin in the bloodstream and you're not taking too many pills. So I think we are moving towards a way of enhancing absorption of, I think we have already achieved success with curcumin, and I think moving forward, probably many other botanicals which have similar limitation probably can be improved. And I think it won't be totally unrealistic that in a few years from now we have a cocktail or we have multiple botanicals with enhanced bioabsorption or bioavailability can be used, and then we can begin to see a lot of these botanicals which have been sort of skeptically seen, or they work or they don't work. Probably once we have uniform ways of extracting them and increasing their bioabsorption, they probably would be important therapeutic or preventative approaches in treating a lot of patients.
So what are some other things that curcumin research reveals that it's helpful for?
Well, curcumin is, I would say that to the best of my knowledge, there's not one disease for which curcumin has not been used. It has been used for virtually every cancer. It works in patients with Alzheimer's. I'm involved in clinical trials in patients with Alzheimer's. It works in patients with Parkinson's. We published a couple of years back a human clinical trial with patients who have active rheumatoid arthritis. We have done another study with patients who have osteoarthritis. I'm aware of people who are trying it for patients with diabetes. So you name it, virtually it's been used for a lot of these chronic illnesses, and it is not really surprising because the basic fundamental problem for a lot of these chronic illnesses, which we talked before, is low levels of chronic inflammation. So if you can check that, if you can control that inflammation, it is not inconceivable to think that a single compound like curcumin can really offer all those therapeutic benefits. So curcumin can really control inflammation and as a consequence can help with all these different diseases.
Yeah, how about curcumin as a preventive? Because, you know, we talk about it as a therapeutic agent if you're, you know, suffering from a disease. But I personally take a couple of curcumin capsules daily, just simply for prevention, you know, because, you know, as you get older, isn't it inevitable that you tend to go more inflammatory?
That is true, and I think that that's a very, very important point for the listeners who are listening to the show, that we should not wait until we have some symptoms for one of the illnesses. I think we should be, the lifestyles we are currently living, the foods we are consuming, the air we breathe, the environments we live in, I think they all have pro-inflammatory components. So we may not see symptoms. That's a problem with the chronic inflammation, low levels of chronic inflammation, that it is completely asymptomatic. We don't see any symptoms until we are too sick. But we have to recognize that this low levels of chronic inflammation is always around, but we don't have a way of knowing it. So we should be very proactive about it, and we should consider taking a curcumin supplement because it is very safe. It is quite inexpensive, and it helps fighting this inflammation. And if you can do that, I think if we can delay the onset of a lot of disease, we can prevent a lot of disease. And if we can push off a lot of this disease by a decade or two, I think that's much more important than trying to worry about curing the disease once we have it.
What are some of the hallmarks of inflammation? How could you become aware as a patient that you're at risk?
Would you mind rephrasing this question?
In other words, is there a way like to predict whether you're at? I mean, you're saying basically it's fine for everybody to take it, but what are the hallmarks of inflammation, either symptom wise or is there blood tests that can tell you, you know, how far along you are in along these inflammatory pathways?
Right. So to measure risk for inflammation, I mean, there are many ways. I mean, one can measure different inflammatory cytokines in the blood samples, but most people don't worry about these things because they don't know the levels of inflammation. But I would say that it is not totally beyond thinking that one should consider doing a, you know, just like we do go for our annual physicals, we should look at the candidate inflammatory markers. We can look at our blood levels, and if they're constant every year, then there's nothing to worry. But if you begin to see that some of these inflammatory markers are rising, one should be very, very careful. One should be very vigilant, and one should start using some intervention, either with curcumin or other natural, safe botanicals such as curcumin.
So SED rate, C-reactive protein, highly sensitive
right.
C-reactive protein, these are some of the things that we use at the Hoffman Center to get a
sure.
get a beat on people's inflammatory status. And then you can look at other specific, I mean, more esoteric tests would be interleukins and cytokines, and those
right.
are more expensive, obscure tests that can be done.
Yeah.
You know, it's thought that underlying many conditions, inflammation.
Yeah, inflammation, and also we briefly touched upon in our conversation about oxidative stress too. So that's another important thing, that curcumin is a very powerful antioxidant as well. So increased inflammation, increased oxidative stress or generation of free radicals, they both are undesirable for a healthy cell, and curcumin can eliminate both of them quite effectively. So we should definitely consider taking a curcumin supplement on a daily basis. And just like you said, you take curcumin. I've been taking curcumin supplements for several years now, since I cannot maintain my native Indian eating lifestyle. So,
right.
So I've been taking curcumin supplements, and I would say that my kids take that, my family takes it, and I think it's a wonderful supplement to consume, because it really, I feel that definitely it is very helpful, and a lot of my friends and family does the same. So I think it is, and now we have enough science. I mentioned earlier, there are more than 7,000 studies out there repeatedly showing us the therapeutic and preventative benefits of curcumin, and absolutely, really, other than a very small concern, patients who are taking blood thinners, such as warfarin and so forth, they should be very, very careful not to take too much curcumin. So other than that, really, there's no...
Because care. Why? Because it further thins the blood, or does it interfere with Coumadin?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So I think that's a concern. So I think that is one class or one category of patients who have to be a little bit more concerned about taking curcumin. But other than that, it is absolutely naive. It's quite safe, and really there's no concern. And again, when I talk about no concern, we have to take into context the amount of curcumin you consume. So if there are human studies done that up to 12 grams of curcumin taken daily for 6 months virtually had no toxicity. Now, can we say that same thing if you start consuming 100 grams of curcumin? Possibly no. But now what we're talking is 500 milligrams or 250 milligrams or gram of curcumin a day. I think that's very safe. It's quite affordable, and it is going to help a lot of people from preventing by preventing a lot of disease and patients who already are taking other medications, since there's really no clear evidence that there's enough evidence actually to suggest that curcumin is safe, has no negative interaction with most medications patients take. I think it is safe to use as an adjunct to whatever treatment they're taking.
If someone is taking curcumin, would that be one of the things, along with, say, garlic and fish oil or high-dose vitamin E, that you might think of maybe you should not take it during right prior to surgery because of bleeding risk?
I would say yes. I think if you're going
as a precaution,
while you're undergoing any active surgical treatment or something more intensive, it is okay to hold off to start taking these because at that time you're taking too many drugs and you do not want, or you don't want to be concerned about possible side effects or negative interaction. But nonetheless, if as a healthy individual you're taking it as a supplement, I don't think there should be any concern. But for any patient, whether you're a cancer patient or a patient with some other disease, it is always a general good practice to consult with your physician first before you embark upon any of these interventions. So I think your oncologist, your physician knows best. Consult with them and see if they would allow. And sometimes they're not aware of curcumin, and the patient should take some science or evidence, or show them some articles. And I do all the time. A lot of patients reach out to me asking me, my oncologist is not familiar with curcumin, can you tell me some? And I'll be happy to send them a couple of review articles showing them, look, here's the evidence. And I would say 8 out of 10 times these patients are able to convince their oncologist, showing the safety and the benefit of this, and the oncologist or their physician won't be averse to allowing them to use curcumin along with the treatments.
Well, that's today's Intelligent Medicine Call to Action. Where can people access these resources, and do they, if you're willing for them to get in touch with you or their doctors?
I would be happy to do so. Yes, I have no problem. I do it all the time, and I'll be happy to provide any information I can. I would not interfere with their medical care,
right,
but I'll be happy to provide them the scientific evidence they would be looking at if I know the answer, yes.
And where can they access you?
They can look up on my website. It's a Baylor's website. They can send me email. I think
the Baylor University website. So look
Baylor
for
Baylor University Medical website. If they look me up on Baylor University Medical Center website,
it's Dr. AJ Goel, G-O-E-L.
That's correct. So
okay.
And they can send me an email, and I'm always very good at answering emails, and I will answer the emails if I can.
Well, it's very generous of you. Also, I note that there's a website, bcm95.com, which is a good resource because there's a handy frequently asked questions section. And, you know, one of the questions is, and if you mind spending a couple more minutes with us, the concern is, you know, a lot of these things are sourced sometimes from foreign sources. People are concerned about things that come from China these days. I assume that these products are not grown in China, but they may be sourced in India. And, you know, there have been some reports here and there of harmful solvents being used in the preparation of herbs, or levels of lead or various types of contaminants that are present in these. I mean, these are herbal medicines, and to some extent, the herbal medicine market is a little poorly regulated. have we really done due diligence to make sure that these products are free of contaminants?
I cannot speak for every curcumin extract, but for BCM95, and that's the reason, and I've been using it in my research for many, many years now, and I know that during the extraction of BCM95 curcumin from turmeric, there are no chemical, harsh chemical use for this extraction. And I think part of the reason some of these other companies or other products out there, they may have some residual harsh chemicals because using some of these chemicals allow much more or higher yield of curcumin from turmeric, but at the same time it compromises the benefits of curcumin. But BCM95 in that regard does not involve use of any sort of harsh chemicals. It is quite natural. It is very safe, really it is. And this particular extract, I know that it measures up to the expected levels of any contaminants in there. So it's very safe and quite good. So I never had any complaints, any patients taking BCM95 in that regard.
Great. Okay, so our listeners can learn the facts at BCM95.com. And any other additional resources you want to share with our listeners?
I believe that website is pretty complete. I'm not familiar with any other website, but I would say that most readers should, everybody can Google these days, you know, Google the word BCM95 and look up the evidence yourself. And if there are any specific scientific concerns or questions, I'll be happy to answer those if I can.
Yeah, and I'm just browsing the website, and actually we can find details of, I believe it was your study, depression study published on BCM95. It was a press release. And the story was actually carried by the Wall Street Journal. So that's pretty cool. Well, great job. You know, we're always excited when rigorous research scientists like yourself get involved in validating the benefits of herbs. It's one thing, you know, to have sort of a folkloric faith in natural products because of some ancient tradition of using them. But it's always great when modern scientists can do the necessary research, do the proper studies, and safety evaluations to make sure that we can translate these ancient traditions into a modern context. So congratulations.
I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much. And I really enjoy it. And I think that's the future. I mean, we knew all along for centuries that some of these natural compounds have immense therapeutic benefits, but I think we have sort of lost validity. And I think we have, as smarter we're getting, we always wanted more scientific or medical scientific support to justify the mechanisms, how these compounds work. But I think for many of these compounds, now we have overwhelming body of evidence to show what are the mechanisms, how these compounds work, what are the interactions with any other drugs and so forth. So I think we are getting towards that point where we are building a large body of data supporting safe and effective use of these botanicals. And I think the future looks quite bright, that we'll be using more and more of these natural remedies to help patients, whether on their own or in combination with traditional, with more modern pharmaceutical-based drug approaches.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. A.J. Goel, and you've been very generous with your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show. Enjoyed it.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.